And we're listening to the great Eric Clapton and B.B. King. Their song Help the Poor from Riding with the King. And now it's time for our fourth Friday focus, the Oregon Center for Public Policy. And we've got on the phone Janet Bauer from the Oregon Center for Public Policy. Wow, she's been there now since 2005. That's 13 years of doing policy analysis and providing information to the people of Oregon. Janet focuses on health policy, implementation of the Affordable Care Act, temporary assistance for needy families, which we'll be talking about today, wage theft, hunger, SNAP child care assistance, and other social programs. And hopefully, if the magic is right, we have Janet Bauer on the line. Janet, are you with us?
I am. Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Janet, it's wonderful to have you. And, I was intrigued by our topic today because we're going to talk about a program I'm not sure a lot of people actually know about. It's something that was, was in the back of my head, but you reminded me of it. And I heard a revenue report and a couple of weeks back that said the revenue is coming in higher than expected, and of course we can give it all back to everyone or we could do something else with it. And so tell us a little bit about the TANF program, maybe when it began and sort of its history and what it's all about.
Sure. So we're talking about the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families services today, and the program had its beginning many decades ago when it was broadly felt that families that who had fallen on hard times, families with children, should be protected and supported. So now the federal government provides states resources to operate their Temporary Assistance to Needy Families program, and many of us call it TANF. It used to be called Aid to Families with Dependent Children until 1996. But essentially, we here in Oregon are using those resources to protect children because we think that they deserve a chance to succeed in life, regardless of where they live or the size of their parents' paycheck. Families must have children in them to receive assistance, and typically, folks have they have very little income and virtually no resources either. So we're talking about families where perhaps a breadwinner has had an injury and is unable to work. Many of the households that Oregon supports are single parent households, and in some cases the other spouse has left the household and is not supporting the children. Many, many times, unfortunately, there has been a history of domestic violence or abuse, and so the parent may have mental health issues and some road to go in getting back on their feet. In some cases, there are physical health issues as well that may not qualify technically for disability, but temporary assistance to needy families is a lifeline for these families and children in these circumstances, and it provides temporary help.
Well, let me ask you this. You said this is a federally funded program then?
Yes, in part. It is what we call Oregon gets a block grant, so it gets the same amount of money, and it has been getting the same amount of money since 1996 every year, and it has to match that money with its own money. So both of those sources combined, it's a state and federal program, Oregon.
Do you know the match percent on this?
It isn't actually a match percentage because it's a block grant.
Ah.
So Oregon has to provide a minimum amount.
Okay.
But Oregon, because the amount from the federal government is not adjusted for inflation, that amount is the same. Oregon has been investing somewhat more than it has in the past, just simply to keep up with inflation. But that's not to say that we have been helping more families.
Sure. Well, you make some comparison of what this program used to do and then compared it to what's going on now, especially relative to the poverty level, which many of us believe isn't rising as fast as it ought to in itself.
Right. Well, one of the things that, I mean, at the core, the purpose of the services is to allow the family to avoid homelessness when they have no income and to maintain a roof over their head and to basically have that basic stability to get back, for the parent to get back on their feet and get back in the job market. So the challenge is that the amount that Oregon has been providing families has had no change in virtually 20 years since the time of welfare reform in 1996. So this is why the Oregon Center for Public Policy and our partners in the TANF Alliance have been talking quite a bit this legislative session about the circumstances of families who are receiving this assistance, this temporary assistance, and how it's really not sufficient to do what it's intended to do, which is help a family avoid homelessness and get back on their feet. So we've been talking about the fact, for instance, that a family of three, let's say a mother and two children, is now receives a cash grant of $506. It was $503 in 1997. That amount increased just a little bit prior to the recession, but because of budget challenges, the legislature reduced it back down. So there's been virtually no change. And the consequence of that is that the value of that cash has eroded. So today you can buy much, much less of with that amount than you could in 1997. And in fact, if you think about it in terms of the federal poverty level, the cash grant amount was equivalent in 1997 to 45% of the federal poverty level. That's way below the federal poverty level. But it was a bit closer to what a household might need for the bare necessities than it is today. Today, a family is living at about 29% of the federal poverty level with a maximum amount from TANF. So these are the things that we're bringing up to lawmakers now to say, we're expecting a parent to get back on their feet, and yet they really can't realistically meet their basic needs with what we're providing.
Yeah, that seems pretty low. Now, do you know what the income eligibility requirement is to get onto this program?
Yes, it's only a little bit higher than the cash grant amount. So it would be less than $600 per month for a family of three. So
they have to make less than that?
Yes, they would.
Wow.
Right. Yeah, and so families are essentially destitute. And most TANF families you can earn so little that very few families, when they get on the program, are earning income. Let me give you an example. In Oregon, if you're working at a minimum wage job, if you work 8 hours a week, you're already working more or earning more than would qualify you to get help. So that's why we're talking about the fact that families have to be virtually destitute and have virtually no income before Oregon steps in now. That income limit has also been frozen for the same amount of time and has had the same difficulty. So we're helping fewer and fewer families who are struggling and in the same circumstance. But because our threshold to get onto the program hasn't changed, it just means that we're able to protect fewer children and help fewer parents who are really struggling, who could be quite successful had we been able to get them the stability that they need to engage in a job training program, for instance. So these are the things that we're asking lawmakers to look at and to make some choices in terms of updating how much we're providing so that it's actually can do what it's intended to do.
Sure. Now, does this program do anything besides provide cash assistance? Are there any other services that you can get through TANF?
Absolutely. And first I would say that as of welfare reform in 1996, it's a temporary program. So a parent can only be receiving cash assistance for 5 years in their entire life. And that's a small fraction of the period of time it takes to raise a child.
Sure.
But secondly, they need to be engaged in and on a path to entering the workforce. So that could mean getting employment assistance, such as assistance identifying jobs, developing a resume, working on interviewing skills, or even developing some job skills. So families have to be doing that unless there's a huge reason why they can't, which could be something like they have a mental health crisis and are not able to function and need some intervention before they could get there, for instance, or they have a physical disability that would prevent them at that moment, And the services that become available to a family who is receiving cash assistance are those very things like employment services, job training, and child care supports that help them get back on their feet.
Okay. Well, at least, in addition, these families are, if they're eligible for this, then they're obviously eligible for the Oregon Health Plan and SNAP.
That's correct, yes. Yes.
So they are getting some other places, and of course the SNAP benefits have been eroding probably in a similar way.
Actually, the SNAP benefits, I have to say, although they are seldom enough to completely provide for a family's nutritional needs for an entire month, they are adjusted for inflation every year, and that is not the case with our TANF program. At the very least, lawmakers need to include a cost of living adjustment every year so that we don't see the service and our supports to households with children continue to deteriorate. But you are right, and thankfully, households who qualify for TANF also typically do qualify for SNAP benefits.
And the Oregon Health Plan, which is really critical.
And the Oregon, yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yes. And that is a big, big support, particularly to in helping parents get back on their feet, since many of them, unfortunately, do have history of domestic violence and may need to have some physical or mental health services to be able to keep down a job and independent and support themselves and their families.
Now, you provided some supplemental information, and this whole the whole concept of this, what used to be called aid to families with dependent children, is really the focus is on the children. And you provided some supplemental information that really showed how critical it is at when children are young to be essentially in a stable household with good nutrition.
Yeah, one of the things that research has found is how important a stable household is to brain development and normal brain development so that children can develop the skills and be able to learn in a developmentally as they should and to be able to succeed in school. A lot of stress in childhood, particularly in early childhood, can interfere with that and can make it harder for children to succeed academically. So we've been talking to lawmakers about the fact that one of the consequences of our not being on top of updating our cash assistance is the consequences to children and the long-term potential consequences. There's research that shows that the stress simply of being in poverty affects brain development. And the good news is that even modest increases in cash to a cash-strapped household has a measurable impact in a positive direction on brain development for children. And those effects, as I mentioned, can last throughout their lifetime. The long-term research has shown that it translates into higher earnings as adults. So this is really something to be paying attention to, and we're hopeful that the legislature will begin to take steps, hopefully this session, to begin to address the abysmally low amount that we've been providing.
And you had a, it just seems odd to me that, you know, we talk about the cost of living and inflation and the dramatic increase in, like, housing costs was one of the things that you brought up. And it just seems like one of the things that doesn't seem to go up in, with, along with inflation is wages. I mean,
right.
I just don't get it. Now, you had some suggestions, and you've talked about one of them, is to try to make this this grant subject to a cost of living adjustment, but at the same time, you would like to have a, you know, restore the, like you call restoring the grant's value, and just increase the grant and try and just get a bigger chunk of that poverty level knocked off.
Right. Those are the two primary things that we think that the legislature should do. We need to be able to give parents a realistic opportunity to get back on their feet. These services are only available for a temporary period for them, and the clock is ticking. If they are in constant crisis, they're not utilizing that time. They cannot utilize that time in a productive way if they're spending their time looking for housing, being in unstable circumstances, oftentimes sharing, doubling up in situations. And so that is not a prescription for long-term stability for them or their children. So restoring the value of the cash grant is one. And let's not let this happen again. Let's do like we do with SNAP. Have a cost of living adjustment regularly. It's just sort of like maintaining your car. Let's just do this preventive measure so we're not back in the situation in the future again. So
hey, let me ask you
solvable.
This. Has there been any analysis to talk about the investment that we could make in children at this very early age to create the stability to prevent a lifetime of problems, and then what that payoff might be in terms of either increased tax revenues or reduced public spending on these people in the long term?
There has been analysis of that, and on all of those scores, it's positive. So it's a smart step to make, as well as a humanitarian step. So, as I mentioned, there's measurable increases in earnings as adults when children have stability in their earlier years, and even small increases or modest alleviation of the harshest aspects of poverty can pay off. And so, and that does translate into a tax-paying individual. Mm. So it's better in that way. And the other thing is, we need skilled workers. Having children who have had a successful early education experience is good for Oregon's economy. As I know that we've talked and we've focused on, we're not doing enough in our classrooms, we're not investing enough. So this is a part of that equation. Mm-hmm. School performance. Let's make sure that kids when they go to school are ready to learn, they're able to. They have an opportunity. We need to stack the deck in their favor.
Sure. Now, you also suggested to perhaps through the TANF program, you could offer a housing allowance. Has there been any serious discussion about that?
We haven't had a lot of discussion yet. It is something that we have put on the table as an idea. One of the reasons that we do think it's worth looking at is that housing in Oregon is particularly in a crisis situation. And so there are families, there's some variation in housing costs, no matter, you know, depending on where you are in Oregon. So a housing allowance could be tailored a bit to the specific needs of people regionally in Oregon. But I would say that the TANF grant amount right now is not sufficient for a household to pay rent in any area of Oregon, right, rural or urban, in any area. So there's a systemic problem with the cash grant amount, and we could, in addition, help some families more powerfully by providing an additional housing allowance that could help.
Sure. Wow. Hopefully they can get something done. Do you know if there's any bills?
Yeah.
That are actually
absolutely
out there?
Absolutely. Oh, I'm so happy you asked. Yes, House Bill 4081 is the bill that we've been talking to lawmakers about. I'm happy to say that the House Early Childhood and Family Supports Committee passed the bill with unanimous support. And what it would do is extremely modest and simple. It's sort of the first thing that they could do, which is this. In terms of the TANF program, if there should be any funds that are not spent, that have been allocated for the program in a biennium, but for some reason were not needed, and this can happen because the economy may pick up faster than was anticipated, so there are fewer people who are needing the assistance, that money would not be spent elsewhere in the Oregon budget to patch maybe a budget need somewhere else. But no, we've been neglecting TANF for too long, and we need to keep what's been budgeted for TANF in TANF. So it's extremely simple. There actually is not a budget ask for this because we're not asking for any new money. We're simply saying let's reinvest the money that we might have saved because things went better this biennium than we expected. Let's reinvest that and increase the cash grant amount with that amount of money. So it's a simple and common sense proposal. House Bill 4081 is now in the Ways and Means. Your listeners can go to the Oregon Legislature website and look and see who's on the Ways and Means Human Services Subcommittee, and that's where the bill will be considered. So there's not a hearing scheduled yet, but we hope there will be, possibly next week. So this would be a good time for people to weigh in, and we would encourage people to do that.
If folks want to read more about this issue and other things going on over at the Oregon Center for Public Policy, how would folks do that?
Yes, Oregon Center for Public Policy, we put all of our materials up on our website, which is at ocpp.org, and you will find our TANF information easily accessible on the right side, or just Google TANF, and you'll find all the information that I've been talking about and then some.
Wow. Janet Bauer, thanks for joining us and cluing us in to a little bit on this program, and perhaps we can help the 40,000 Oregon children that rely on this program for support.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. It's great being able to talk to you about it.
Great. Well, have a great day, Janet, and we'll talk to someone from Oregon Center for Public Policy next month.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Take care.
There's a new generation of poor. Faces clean and their eyes are pure. Empty stomachs, but their mouths are full. Oh, American proud, American poor.